Okay, we're ready.
Ready.
They really marked me up.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to call the Craighead County Jonesboro Public Library Board Meeting to order. We have five members present. That's enough to do business tonight. We have three that are absent.
Two.
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 Two, only two, yeah. Okay. Our minutes that we need to vote on of May 8th. Has everyone had a chance to look over those? Any questions or comments or additions that need to be made?
Have you heard from our two absent board members?
Yes.
Okay.
So it was first day of school for Shallon.
I'm just asking if you...
Is everybody ready to vote?
They called.
Okay.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to approve the minutes of the May 8th meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. We approved the minutes.
Okay, Mark. Is there a second?
Second.
Janice? Okay. We'll continue using a voice vote unless there's an objection to that. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, our quarterly financial report.
Everything is on track through the end of June. We are, total budget is under, we've spent about 45% total so far, which is, I say, where we should be. Mr. Johnson, the last time you asked me to create or add a column for the total collections, so through the end of June, we've collected just under $1 million.
Great. Thank you very much for doing that. That helps a lot for us to see where we're at.
But we did mention in our last meeting how it is weighted towards the end of the year before, you know, a lot of people pay their taxes in, you know, October,
yeah.
Pretty much. So.
That's why we have to have a carryover.
Yeah.
We couldn't meet budget. All right. You have any additional information that you want to share?
I just wanted to add the, I didn't include the treasurer's report on here just because there's really nothing to say about it other than the treasurer did sign off on all the bank accounts. Do you have anything else, anything about the bank statements, Kaylee?
Thank you, Kaylee. Any other information concerning the budget up to this point? Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to approve the quarterly financial report. Motion?
I move that we accept the budget and quarterly report.
Okay, is there a second?
So moved.
Janice, thank you. Any further discussion? Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor of the quarterly financial report, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Director's report.
Okay, first thing is the statistics for May, June, and July. May and June are on one page, and July's on the third, on the other page. You'll see the in red are the statistics from 2023, and the ones in blue are the comparison from 2022.
Same amount of months.
Yes,
I mean comparable.
Yeah,
comparable
you can
time.
You can see this is May's, and then there's June's below that, right there.
Okay, but it's cumulative, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For the month, and you can see it's not year to date; it's monthly.
Okay.
The traffic increased by 4,000 from 2022 to 2023, but it's mostly people attending programs because our circulation has gone up a little bit, but not that much. and it actually dropped a little bit in July. But according to the statistics that the consultants have, that's about accurate, because we actually have more people checking out fiction on ebooks than we do print materials now, which they found interesting. They said that they don't have any other libraries like that. So I'm not really sure why this community embraced ebooks so well, but it's a really good economical way to reach more people is through ebooks.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's probably one of the reasons the circulation was down. Also, a lot of the numbers are down in July because we, in the children's department, we had fewer employees to run programming, so the numbers are down, and they're going to just continue to go down as we have to cut employees because of the budget cut. But also, we kind of think the weather had something to do with attendance in July because it rained so much. And sometimes when we would have outdoor activities planned, we had to cancel them because of the rain, which we've never had that much rain in July. So that made a big difference, too, in July. We had a really good kickoff in June, and our youth services attendance was 2,800, which was pretty good. It's a little down from the year before, but there again, that, you know, fewer programs, and that's just kind of have to be how it is. Yeah. Any questions about the statistics?
If someone renews their card, does that count as a new library card?
No.
Okay.
No, so that's brand new people getting cards. Yeah.
Is there any way we can monitor how many people are reading the e-books?
I can get you statistics on that, yeah.
I just
wondered. You want to start getting the e-book stats?
I think that'd be interesting to find out how well that's being accepted by the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Glad to.
Hey, Vanessa, you mentioned that we've had to cut employees, and they were from the children's department.
Uh-huh.
How many employees?
We've cut two so far, and they were programmers. And considering that's what they did, that's, 10, 15 programs a week. Sure. Okay, so if there are no more questions, can we move on?
Sure.
Okay. I would like to introduce to you our new teen librarian. Her name is Michaela Huss. If you want to come up and tell us a little bit about you, she has a handout in our packet telling us some of the forecasts of what she's expecting, but I'd like for you to tell them a little bit about you and how you got here and all your accomplishments, too.
Thank you so much. I sure appreciate it. Hi, my name is Michaela, and it's so nice to be here. I'm the new teen librarian, but I've been working at CCJPL going on 6 years in the children's department, although this will be my first year starting as the teen librarian. I'm super excited. I just got my Master's of Information Science from University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
Wow.
And I know we have a couple of other librarians right now who are working on degrees, so that's really exciting. And yeah, I can jump right into it. Did everybody get the handout?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Teen Hub updates.
Yes.
And an outlook.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I'd love to tell you guys some, just summed up some of what we did during the summer, but I can tell you a little more specifically about the Teen Hub programming we did. But before we get into that, I'll just kind of do it in the order we have it on the sheet. Some new exciting things that we can look forward to for the future and that we'll be able to talk some more about later would be the addition of a makerspace and a gaming zone to the Teen Hub area, which is kind of right outside these doors here in the round room. So we've had a lot of patrons expressing interest because you're already starting to see some of that equipment and materials being set up. We're still waiting on some things to be ordered, but we have our 3D printer right now that's getting set up that teen patrons will be able to come in and use. Lots of things to promote STEM or STEAM learning, so science, technology, engineering, art, and mechanics and math. And so we've got that in the works also, things like sewing machines, art supplies, crafts that you can make with, so that's why it's called a makerspace. And then the gaming zone that's coming to Teen Hub is something else that we're prepping for. Right now, I think the main thing on that we're waiting on is furniture, so it'll start to kind of take shape a little bit more, but it's something we've had requests for from our teen patrons for a very long time, so it's been highly anticipated, and we have a lot of folks who are really excited about it. Now, one other addition to Teen Hub, you might have noticed it looks a little different out there now. During the summer, we've been able to set up a lot of new seating, and that's been great because we've had a lot of folks coming out to programs and a lot of awesome teen volunteers. And we're working on reupholstering those kind of divider walls out there in some brighter colors, some library blues, some different pops of color, but it'll start looking a little bit brighter out there, and I'm really excited about those. Some cosmetic, but also changes in what resources folks will have access to. Moving back into programming this summer, we had a pretty good turnout for teen programming. On average, really about did. 11 teens in attendance per program, but we had a whole 25 teens at our most popular program this summer, and that was vinyl record painting. They really seemed to enjoy that, and we were more than happy to host. Some of the other popular ones we had a mystery at the museum. It was a whodunit mystery party. That was very fun. Sarah helped me co-host that. They had a really good time, lots of good feedback. We also had a higher number for our manga drawing art class. A lot of teens were really excited for that, and we've got some more stuff planned like that coming up in the future. Before I move on from summer interview, were there any questions about the sections or anything I've talked about so far?
How many teen volunteers do you have?
Oh, goodness. Right now, we probably have several that are active and several that are kind of inactive, especially with school starting back.
Yes.
It's a little bit tricky to see who we'll have for the foreseeable year, but I think estimating around that helped us out this summer, around 8 to 10 teens helping out with that. So they all seemed really enthusiastic and excited to come together. Of course, it's also a great time for them to hang out with friends, get some volunteer hours, and we had a lot of teens express interest in shaping that new space that they're all going to be able to use. So we talked to our volunteers about reupholstering the dividers out there, and you know, that's a small project that we can all work on together, and obviously with more people it'll go faster too, but just being able to be engaged in that space and participate and make that something they're a part of, a lot of them have given me really positive feedback, so I was really happy. We've got an awesome community of teens here in Jonesboro and
great
the surrounding area. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Were there any other questions about anything? If you think of something later, that's okay. But I'm gonna hop on to the next thing, so I don't take up too much time. We've got our programming set for August. This will be in-house programming that we're gonna be having here. There really is a push to try to do more for the teenage group. And so we've had so far the pencil pouch painting, it's a mouthful, for back to school. We had the craft for that and our perler bead potted plants, where that's also kind of a lot of words together. Basically, we made crafts with perler beads, which are fusible beads, and made little room decor, little plants out of them. And so what we've got coming up this week, we've got retro gaming. It's back to school week, so this will be a good de-stressor program to just give folks some time to interact with their peers. And then we've also got a creative writing workshop coming up on the 23rd to do some roundtable writing exercises and also kind of bolster that interest in writing and reading that we have here at the library. I've seen a lot of folks who are really excited about the home cafe cooking class we've got coming up. Teens are going to be able to learn how to make, decorate, and serve their own sweet cafe style treats. So we'll have Coco to do latte art and some different things with that, and make parfaits and some other fun stuff. And then the last thing of the month, we've got a big trivia tournament coming up, the Quiz Bowl-O-Roma. And this time it's going to be teens versus teens, but if it goes well, we might do a teens versus librarians one in the future.
Uh-oh. Really, how about fun teens versus board?
I don't know about that.
That's our lineup for the month. We've also got two special events. These are our after hours that we have every month. We have Friday Night Magic, which is a trading card game meetup, and that is going to be on the 18th. And then Random Fandom Friday is another monthly event we do. It's basically like a teen movie night. And we've done this monthly, third Friday of the month for years and years, ever since I was a teen. And we'll be having a craft based off of our chosen film. It rotates every month, so it's always something a little bit different. And yeah, that's about it for programs upcoming for August. Were there any questions about any of those?
Tell them how long you've been coming to the library as a patron.
Since I was a baby. Long, long, long time. But I've grown up here in Jonesboro, and this is my community, so it's really important to me, and I really care a lot. I'm happy to try and create programming and serve people as best I can. Yeah. Help them find what they're looking for.
Well, congratulations on your master's, too.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. The only other things I really have on here to talk about are a couple more perspective things.
I got a question.
Oh, sure.
Do you ever get input from the teens that show up and ask them what they'd like to see?
Of course. I was going to say, I've actually gotten a lot of really good recommendations from our teen volunteer group and other teens who have been at programs, too. We have feedback forms that we do at the end of every program, and so people can fill out if they liked it, if they didn't like it so much, and if they have ideas for things in the future. And so usually they'll just come up and talk to me or another librarian and be like, oh, I wish we could do X, Y, Z, and we'll try to make it happen. I always tell people, you know, please, if you have ideas, just, you know, let us know, and we're more than willing to try to figure out a way we can make that a reality. It's really exciting when they come up with something. I had one of our volunteers recently was telling me about beading crafts that they were doing, making bracelets, and they expressed interest in doing a program with that. So I'm looking at ways we can possibly incorporate it, but I might have to be the one who does some learning there to figure out how we're going to facilitate it and kind of what pattern to do. But I'm more than happy to. Were there any other questions?
I noticed on here that you play classic video games on old school consoles.
Yes.
How many old school consoles do you have?
Well, I was going to say for this one event, I was going to say it's just the one, but we are, I was going to say we have a pretty decent catalog to pick from, some old, I think it's SNES and NES games.
Those are the list I've sent you.
Yeah, I was going to say we have a big backlog, and it's not an emulator, but it's a console that can play older style games.
How? Yeah, I was thinking how? Atari, but that's not that old school to me.
You know, oh, you want an Atari? I'll get you an Atari.
Just, when you talk about old school, thing, you know? I mean, you know, how old school is old school? Yeah. Atari?
Yeah.
That's right.
Pong?
I was going to say, retro enough to be cool, but not
fun. Yeah. Okay, not to be. Yes. Okay, gotcha.
Adult Services actually did some retro gaming programs during the summer, and a lot of teens really expressed interest, like, oh, I wish I could go to that. So I was like, that's something we could do. And so, you know, sharing that console between departments is one collaboration that I'm really excited about we've got coming up. And I know we've got a couple of folks who come in regularly, use our computers, who were also folks who really wanted to attend that program in the past. So I think they're going to be really excited.
You have great ideas.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah,
fresh, different. Thank you very much.
Yes. Glad to have you on board.
Thank you so much. The only last thing I had on there was just as far as in-person school outreach will be starting soon. So I'll be reaching out to area middle schools and high schools just to see if they'd like me to run a like an assembly or classroom visit, or if they want to come for a school tour. I think we've already got a school tour lined up for an Edelton virtual students coming up on September 8th.
Yeah.
And that'll be both the younger grades earlier and then the high school age a little bit later.
Right.
And I'm currently developing presentations and activities to do with large groups this fall and the fall. And I already had my first outreach. It was at an open house, and it was at Nettleton Junior High on the 10th, and that went really well. We saw, oh gosh, it's a little, I think I had to estimate a little bit because people were flying through so fast. I was right by the main entrance, so we probably had about 450 people or so come by. But yeah, I handed out lots of calendars, pencils, and got to talk to people about events we've got coming up, just like I'm doing right now. So that's about all I have. I'm really excited to be in this position, to be helping and kind of figuring out what folks would like to do and helping facilitate that. I'm really excited to see what we've got. got to come. We've got a great community, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you guys for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
yeah.
Thank you
so much. We're glad to have you here for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Bye. You can relax now. Okay, the next thing on the list is Act 372. I had already sent you a printout, so I didn't print out another one in the packet. I just wanted to quickly say that there was an injunction on numbers 1 and 5 of Act 372. Section 1 was... furnishing a harmful item to a minor as a Class A misdemeanor. Right now, that is not part of the law, and I do not know when that will be up for an appeal or anything. I'll let you know. And then also Section 5. The main thing to take away from Section 5 was that the final decision of a book's location was to be decided by elected officials, bypassing the library board completely.
Yeah.
And that part, there's an injunction on that part.
Yeah.
Section 6 is in a law now, which takes away children's privacy. And now a library may disclose confidential library records to the patron or the parent or legal guardian of a patron who is younger than 18 years of age. So, but that is only the items they have checked out. We don't keep a history of what they've checked out before. So if a parent wants to know what their child checked out last year, we don't have it. We just do not have that record. All we have is what they have currently checked out. And the parent has the right to do that. They have to show proof, though, that they are the parent. Mm-hmm. But that part is a law. So I just wanted to let you know on the update on that. And I'll keep you posted.
Have we always not kept that record?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We just don't keep a history.
Vanessa, can you send me that in an email?
I did. I sent you that.
I guess I never did. As an attachment? The act?
Yes, I sent it to you.
The whole
you.
Thing was in the file.
No, it wasn't in this file. I sent it to you a week or two ago.
I'll have to go there and look because I thought it was going to be in the agenda tonight.
No, it was just too long to print again. But you do have a copy of it. If you can't find it, let me know. I'll send it to you again. Yeah, I'll be glad to. So the next thing is the material reconsideration policy. I do not have an overhaul of it because of the injunction. But I did want to do a few changes to it. On page 1, everything highlighted in yellow is new or changed a little bit. I changed some of the wording. Challenging library materials, a patron must be registered borrower in good standing with the Crooked County Jonesboro Public Library. This is a statewide recommendation. All the libraries in the state are talking about this, and they're all adding this to their material reconsideration policy. And then number 2, patron must request a meeting with the library director or person acting in the director's stead and explain the reason for challenging a specific library material. If after meeting with the library director, the patron wishes to file a formal reconsideration, they will be given a material reconsideration packet. The packet includes our collection development policy, our mission statement, and our material reconsideration form. And then number 3, the patron must supply their full name and address. Anonymous complaints will not be considered. So some of that is a little bit of rewording, and some of that is some additions that I've added. And that's the only change to that policy. So I need a vote on that.
Okay.
Well, I would like to. I do have one comment.
Sure.
I really don't have a problem with anything except for light item number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like the library is kind of in the driver's seat and who gets to actually make a complaint. And I think it should be the taxpayer. I think that's the qualification. If you live in Craighead County, I think that should be the qualifier to file. You know, and I don't have a problem with meeting with the director.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, and I'm not sure exactly what it means to be in good standing.
It means they have an active library card. Okay. And really, I mean, how else would they read the material unless they purchased it, you know?
Well, I mean, you can do a card catalog search without a library card.
But you have to have read the material to be able to challenge it.
But you could have got the material somewhere else, you know. Yeah. So let's say the book is perfectly normal. You say, okay, hey, does my library have that? Oh, they do have that. And so, you know, I think it circumvents, like, who's the boss? Well, it's the taxpayer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that they can complain, whether they don't darken the door, it's still their money that's paying for this book, you know, at the end of the day. It's not the person coming here. I mean, it is, you know, but it's also them.
Yeah.
So I think it cuts out a important, basically I think the taxpayers in this county need to be able to file a complaint if they want to.
That's my
only change.
Okay. So I guess we could probably talk about a vote on that then.
I make a motion to accept it as written.
Okay, motion.
I'll second it.
All right, let me write this down.
I mean, are we going to entertain like a rewording from Mark?
Well, after the second, then there'll be a discussion.
Okay.
Robert's Rules of Order say there's a motion and then there's
motion's
a discussion.
Motion's been made and second to consider that number one there. All in favor say aye.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, you need a second and then a discussion.
I thought somebody said
second. I seconded.
Michael did.
So I guess...
What can second and then you need a discussion.
Okay, now it's time for the discussion.
So I would just request to change line item one to the patron must be a resident of Craighead County.
And now we hear anyone opposed to that? Any kind of discussion on that?
Wait, that would not be part of what that would be an amendment to what I proposed. Oh,
that's true.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, sorry, that's true, you're right.
So you're...
So we need to vote on this original motion of mine.
No, you need to vote on the amendment first.
The amendment, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you want the amendment to read?
This line number one, the patron must be a resident of Craighead County.
Must be a resident.
Resident of Craighead County.
Instead of registered borrower.
Right. Correct.
That kind of mirrors number three there. You know, you got to supply their name, the address to say that you're a resident.
Yeah, that would be consistent.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't think we should be able to turn down a comment if they don't have a library card. I just think that's because the people are actually paying.
I mean,
our salaries and all that. I just think it's an important thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if that's accepted then and they're just a resident, in order for them to do this and file a formal complaint, then it says, file a formal reconsideration. Then they get this packet of information, right?
Right.
And then they have to give their name and address, and then it goes from there.
Right.
So everything else would be the same.
The same. Okay.
Mark is just stating he would prefer, you know, be a resident of the county, not necessarily that they have to have a library card.
Okay. Resident in good standing. How are you a resident in good standing in
no,
the county?
No, just a resident of the county.
Oh, not in good standing?
Correct, just a resident.
Not a registered borrower in good standing, but just patron must be a resident of Craighead County.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
So are we saying they've got to have read this material? Are we saying they went and bought it somewhere
they could learn about a specific book and have read that book somewhere else, you know. And not necessarily have a library card, and then get on our car catalog online and say, "Hey, we have that book." Hey, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Now they, you know, I mean, that's just a definite plausible path without having a library card to be familiar with that material and to know it's in our holdings.
Hmm.
Yeah,
you can speak. Go ahead.
Well, can I vote that we accept how it was reworded?
Yeah.
Okay, I move
you make a motion to accept to for the amendment then, right?
That how it was reworded, yes.
Yeah. Okay, is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
All right, it's been made and seconded. So now we'll take a vote, and we'll vote by saying yea or nay individually. If you vote yea, then we change it. If you vote nay, we leave it as it is. Does everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, we'll start. Kaylee?
Yes.
I'm Michael, no.
Janice Griffin, no.
Mike Johnson, no.
Mark Nichols, aye.
Okay, the amendment fails. So the number one there will remain in effect as it has been written. Okay, have we made a motion yet to accept this whole thing?
Yes, she made it.
Okay. So we got Janice and Michael. Okay, so we're at the point now where we had the discussion. So we're ready to vote on the entire package of the material reconsideration policy. All right. Do we need to, I guess we need to vote again by voice vote. Okay, Kaylee?
No.
Michael?
Michael, aye.
Janice, yes.
Michael Johnson, yes.
Mark Nichols, no.
Okay, the motion carries. Okay, reconsideration policy then. What's the next one?
Collection development policy.
Yes.
This one will be a lot easier. Page 2 of it, you'll see highlighted, I put Amazon book reviews removed from all below. The primary source of reviews for the materials are the ones in dotted. What are those called? The dots?
Bullet points.
Yeah, bullet points. Didn't think of that.
Now, this is for adult print materials.
For adult print material, yes. And for children's YA material, and for audiovisual and electronic material.
But they're all different.
Yeah, but the primary sources we did have included in all three of those were the Amazon book reviews. Mm-hmm. And Christy decided, our collection development specialist, she brought it to my attention that she didn't think they were very accurate and they weren't, they're not professional reviews. And so we decided to take them out.
Okay.
And so that's all that I want is for you to approve that we remove Amazon book reviews from the primary sources.
Okay,
for
the
reviews.
But the rest of these have already been all in place.
Yeah, and they're okay. All professional review sites. Amazon was the only one that was not.
Okay.
And so we wanted to take that out just to make it
professional.
Well, yeah, to improve the quality of what we have on the shelves.
Okay.
My concern with that is I'm not really familiar with all these on the bullet points, but I am familiar with Amazon, and I know that, you know, a parent, if they have a concern, they can give a review and actually talk about the content they're concerned about. I watched a book review, I mentioned it's perfectly normal, but they actually watched a book review on it today. And the book review didn't mention any of the complaints that a lot of the parents actually had. Mm-hmm. And it was a professional, person that did the book review. So my concern is it's a censorship of parental discretion issue, because parents really have no voice. This is all professionals, and so there's a filter, there's a censorship between the parent and the library. So if you don't know the information's there as a librarian, then you can't make an informed decision. So I think it's actually less of an informed decision because it cuts out the parent, And unless some of these other avenues have a direct way, a parent can actually say, hey, I have a problem with this particular. I think we at least need to have one of our reviews, the things that we pull from that reflects, that has where a parent could actually leave a review. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion.
Okay.
But, I would prefer it to remain just so they would have a voice and we wouldn't censor them.
Do the parents have access to all of these other review
You can find things? These on online, yes.
Well, it's not.
It can be
checked
out online?
It's not access I'm talking about. It's the ability to leave a review where the librarian can access it and be familiar with that issue.
Right.
Because like I said, the review by the professional I saw today did not reflect some of the concerns, And so, yes, as a professional, but they had a degree, but that doesn't mean that they were thorough enough to reflect all the concerns. So The only way I would say you would not want that is if you didn't want to know about it. You know what I mean? And these other reviewers would kind of whitewash, if you will, the book. You know, and say, oh, it's wonderful. This is their, you know, whatever. Their lived experience, so it's great, right? So, but it doesn't actually talk about the real content.
So have you read the reviews from all these different... No, I have not, sir.
I mean, I have not. I just know that...
So how do you know that they don't include some of that?
I think the argument is more so of just centering another source. Like, didn't we just go through this with the public comments? Like, that's kind of a rocky road to go down, and we don't want to do that. We want, all inclusive. We want everyone to be able to have a review. Amazon has, everyone, before you order something on Amazon, everyone goes to the reviews to look at them. You know, I just ordered a fan the other day and it's graded out of 5 stars. If it's 4.7 or whatever it may be, there's hundreds of reviews on Amazon and they're very helpful. I don't see any reason to censor that or to take that away.
Does it cost us anything to do that?
No. No.
And we were not recording.
It's just the Amazon is just not a professional review source, which is why we wanted to take it off, to improve the quality of the literature that we have.
Okay. But just because we have it listed there doesn't mean that it becomes like the number one source of information.
Right. And this is strictly for selecting the materials for the library. It doesn't have anything to do with the layperson looking at the book. I mean, they're welcome to look at any reviews they want, but this is the collection development policy. This is what this is for Christy to use when she's selecting the material or whoever else selects the material.
Okay.
But is there another, and I'm not familiar with all these, is there a route, for parents' actual reviews to be on these other sites, these other...
I don't know.
I mean, I doubt it, right?
I don't believe so.
Right. So that's. I just think it wouldn't hurt to at least have one where we hear from parents that they don't necessarily have a degree, you know. But
well, you can do that. I mean, before you look at a book,
I'm saying to inform the people
who purchase the books
for the library, yes. So they can hear what parents are actually saying, and not necessarily all filtered through, a like-minded,
These are not like-minded.
No, sure not.
These are very diverse. They're very diverse.
I've read some of these.
We look at all
our school library too.
I just think the parents need a voice in it, personally.
All right. So you want your amendment to this is to strike the Amazon book reviews being removed, right?
Yes. Just leave it in.
Leave it in. Okay. So the amendment would discard that particular phrase, and the Amazon book reviews would be available for our library collection folks to be able to look at if they choose to do so. And I'm sure that each one of these different sources here, they may not even review the same books. I don't know that all of them do, but looking through them, you probably get a pretty good selection of all the books that are out there that are available for a library purchase. Okay, so we have an amendment. The motion's been made. Are we going to make a motion for an amendment to exclude that and remain the Amazon book reviews to be in available for use?
Can you make that?
That's your motion.
Yes, I make a motion that we maintain Amazon book reviews as a source.
All right, Mark makes that a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, Kaylee. Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, go ahead.
Got a question. Okay, this Amazon book review. Okay. Do we use it or do we not use it in the library now or what? Where are we at now with it?
Christy doesn't use it. She just doesn't use it she doesn't feel like it's reliable.
And this is strictly for the library.
Yeah, she feels like it's more opinion than anything. And we don't really buy books based on opinion. We buy them on professional standards.
Okay.
When she does the, like a, one of these reviews, does she use every single one of the bulletin points? Like if it's under the children's or young adult materials, does she use all of them? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Does she look at 8 of them?
For one selection? It's different. It's just different.
She has but the primary ones that she chooses, correct?
Yes, these are the primary ones that she chooses.
But not every book is being reviewed at the same time by all of these sources. Because when earlier I saw some printouts that she did about different books, and the sources that were listed were different ones because the book wasn't being reviewed in a particular source at that given time.
But just let it be said that it's the opinions of parents, and their voices are being silenced, and so there's censorship. Basically, it's like, I don't really want to hear that, let's censor that, because these people kind of, I like this source, which they're all, it's all opinions, right? That's really what it is. And so I just think, we've heard a lot about censorship, but this is censorship, so.
Is the public allowed to comment on this?
No. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we have the amendment that we leave the Amazon book reviews in there to be used if the collection and purchasing people decide to do it.
That's
the motion. Has been made and seconded. So now we'll vote. Kaylee?
Aye.
Michael?
I'll vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. So they will be able to be able to use that standard if they choose to do so. Okay. It's not mandatory, but if they want to, they can.
It'll be in the policy. Okay, that's fine.
All right. What's next?
Collection development. Jonesboro Sun mentions... I have some other things too after that.
Okay.
That are not on the agenda, but
lots of good things from the printed in the paper.
And if you'll look at the page numbers are down at the bottom right. If you'll look at page 19, you'll see a picture of it says Bookmobile on the Move. That's Laura McHenry on the left, the dark hair and the blue shirt. She's our new mobile branch manager. She's doing a really, really good job. She's out there every single day with the bookmobile.
Now, is that Mr. Donovan's daughter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all remember
That's
Mr.
Laura.
Donovan?
Mm-hmm.
That's his daughter.
Yeah. And on the next page, page 20, there is a little article, promo on the bookmobile. It says bookmobile stops for the upcoming week. We are trying to keep that in the paper every week as our bookmobile
mm-hmm.
stops.
Mm-hmm.
And we also are working on doing a monthly calendar that has all the bookmobile stops. We're having people call and say, where's the bookmobile? When's it coming to my area? It's really getting its use now. And we have somebody that's really dedicated to it, and she has a lot of really good ideas.
Can you post that on the KAIT website? That community calendar?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I bet they take
that information. I know it's printed in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Chrissy is working on that. Too many Chrissies. Chrissy is working on that, our marketing.
And Jonesboro, that free channel, I bet you they'd let you put it on that.
She's doing that, yeah. She's sending it to all our regular media sources. But I'll talk to her about that community calendar.
And
she's doing really well.
And
in
addition to some of these places, we also have some businesses that want to have it stopped at their place too, right?
Yes, and we had several sponsors this summer,
mm-hmm.
and she is taking the bookmobile and going to those places too. We had a dentist send us $500 and a big box of toothpaste and toothbrushes and dental floss this summer, and so she's gone a couple of times and parked in his parking lot. Andy's Frozen Custard has been a really good sponsor.
Yeah, that's where I got it.
So she goes there. Yeah,
I took my grandkids there.
I told you I'd
there.
Let you know when she's
yeah,
parked there.
Yeah, that was good. Ice cream and read a book.
So she's acknowledging our sponsors for when she brings them there, and you know, people are coming, they're showing up.
The bookmobile I was reading here, and it said it will be at Deer Coulee Park. So how many books does it have on it, and how is it divided? Like, is it mostly targeted like a certain age towards children, or like
they're different? I think she's got 3,000 on there right now. She's actually got room to add some more, so we're trying to increase her collection. But she has something for all ages, and she has fiction and nonfiction.
Well, see, some of these are going to nursing homes, as opposed to going to an elementary school or something like that. So, the book selection that people want to read, wherever she goes, she'll have the right selection of books on it for that level and that audience, that
right.
particular audience.
And as she goes and gets to know her people on her stop, she'll adjust her collection.
How about those places like Darden Manor, places like that, where those people don't have transportation? A lot of them have to take a bus.
She's going to those places, yeah. Yeah, lots of the nursing homes are really happy to see her. And they don't come in the bookmobile either. A lot of times she goes inside and checks the books out for them. She's really got her customer service down. So she's doing really well.
A lot of them, you know, couldn't get in it.
I will interject. It's ADA accessible. It has a wheelchair lift on the back, and it's wide enough in the middle so that it is ADA accessible.
Thank you. So I have a few more things to talk
sure.
about.
Sure, okay.
We had 75 members of the public attend the focus groups last week. I talked to Debbie Joy from Library IQ, and she says they're about halfway to a report, maybe a couple of months, and we'll get a report from her. Also, we're not meeting in September.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So our next meeting is October the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Mike and I have talked, and he would like to form a budget committee now to go ahead, because we're going to have to meet. The budget committee is going to have to meet in October. We're probably going to have 3 or 4 meetings before the end of the year because of the budget cuts. So you want to announce who's on the budget committee?
Sure. I've asked Mark Nichols and Janice Griffin, former board president, and Michael Watkins to be and to join me to be on that committee to review the budget and look at the possible budget for the coming year. There'll have to be some slicing and dicing done and some other things for consideration, so it's going to take several times. And as we move further into the resources that we have and we look at the expenditures that, you know, that we have now, we're going to have to do some serious work on the budget. It's not can't be just business as usual. So I appreciate them all being willing to serve on the board on that particular budget committee. And we'll keep you posted on when we can meet. We'll send that out to you. Anything else?
Yes, I'm happy to say the roof is complete.
Yes.
We had one tiny leak when we had a major downpour, but we got that fixed. So we have a new roof. The Brooklyn Library is growing so fast that I'm looking to hire somebody else to help, because right now it's just Holly. She works by herself. So I'm looking to hire somebody else part-time. We've announced it in-house. If we don't find someone in-house, then we'll go out and advertise it next week. But it'll be 3 days a week. I'm meeting with the mayor in Brooklyn tomorrow to see about a bigger location. Brooklyn's growing like crazy, and we are just bursting at the seams in that little library. So we're going to see what we can do. So I'll have a report for you hopefully in October on that. And I think that's all. Okay, Kaylee asked what our funds were in our maintenance and special projects. We're right at about $5 million right now.
We've paid for the roof though, right?
No.
Not
that's
yet?
That's not including the roof. And we're gonna have to get a new air conditioning system this year.
Yeah. Not for the complete building, right? Just for part of it?
Right, just a couple of the units. And I have no clue. I don't know if that's $2 or $2 million. I have no idea. I don't know. So don't ask me to even guess.
Expensive.
Any other business to come before the board this evening? We've got an opportunity for limited public comments. Is there anybody who wishes to make a comment? Okay, we have two. How much time would you need? 2 minutes? 1 minute?
2 minutes is good, but 1 minute will suffice.
No, 2 minutes, okay. We'll let the lady go first.
I was glad to hear the teen librarian talk about having volunteers come in and do things with the library and for the library. A couple weeks ago, we had some volunteers come in and do a book reading here in this room, and there were about 200 people here, so we were very pleased with that. Two books that we read, they requested that our library carry, so I thought I'd just bring the books here and give them
okay.
to put in
Thank
our
you.
Collection.
All
Donation?
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you're up.
You said there's about 200?
200, yes.
200. Sorry, Dean, give me just a second. I'll
sure.
your timer. All right, how many do you want?
Happy 2-year anniversary. I'm just joking. It wasn't that fun. But I'm just commenting on just a couple comments that were made today in regards to the two overhauls about the reconsideration policy. And I can't remember off the top of my head what the other one was, but y'all know it better than me. I don't think it's fair to say that censorship, that these parents are being censored. Respectfully, I don't think it's censorship to say that a library can't censor. To me personally, you could have 10 angry parents, 20 angry parents, 30, 40, 50 angry parents, and it's irrelevant. Because at the end of the day, if this board does heed to those parents that are concerned about these books, if this board were to make a vote to get It's Perfectly Normal out, that would very likely lead to this library board being sued. That's what happened in Crawford County. Crawford County Library was sued recently. They were enjoined with Act 372, where the two major sections were recently struck down in court, and Crawford County was a co-defendant. They didn't even want to be a co-defendant, but they said, no, you're a part of this. And so in that spirit, I would be concerned if this board were to vote on any specific book. It's Perfectly Normal, or whatever other book we can think of. At the end of the day, you don't have to like the book. But if this board were to weed it out at the behest of these concerned parents, it could make this library liable, and that would cost taxpayer money. And that would probably be found unconstitutional. I'm not a lawyer. I know a lot of us aren't. But I fear of what that would drag this library into. So it sounds like there's still an appetite to try to remove these books. And so those are my concerns today. Thank you for listening to them.
Thank you. We appreciate it. All right, any other business to come before the board? Okay, I'll accept a motion to adjourn then.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
A second. Okay, I think we can do a voice vote on that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for being here.
October.